Genesis 1 and John 1. Book of Genesis, we see many things throughout the book of Genesis. I've been looking forward to going through it with you. And we see so many things. But chiefly, there's one thing we need to see in the book of Genesis, just like the one thing needful to be seen throughout all the Scripture. And it's not a thing, but it's a person. We need to see Christ in the book of Genesis, and I think we will. God willing, we're going to see clear, very clear pictures of Christ. It's amazing how that at the very, very beginning, God Almighty began to bear witness of His Son. His Son. The book of Genesis means beginning. Means beginning. And from the very beginning, we're going to see Christ revealed as He is revealed throughout the Scriptures. And the reason we need to see Christ in Genesis is the same as why we need to see Christ throughout the Bible. Because God cannot be known, it says in the beginning, God. Well, God cannot be known except through Jesus Christ. Christ Himself said that. He said, no man has seen God at any time, nor ever will see God. But He said, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Jesus Christ must reveal God to God's Spirit. We're flesh. So God became flesh, and His name was Jesus Christ. So we've got to see Christ, don't we? And the purpose for creation, which we're going to see here in chapter 1, the purpose for creation is for the glory of Jesus Christ. If you remember in Colossians 1, our study this morning, well, we didn't get to it, did we? Can't remember what you didn't get to. Yeah, we did. We briefly mentioned Colossians 1, where it says that by Him, verse 16, talking about Christ, by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. They're created for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's why we have to see Christ in creation, even. And the very purpose for the Bible, the very reason this book was written, is to reveal the coming Christ, to tell men about the Christ who's coming. So we've got to see Christ in this, or we have looked at it in vain, right? Our Lord one day, walking on the road to Emmaus with some disciples, it said that He said to them, all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. And that's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The law of Moses in the prophets, and that's Samuel and Ezekiel and Isaiah, Jeremiah, and so on and so forth. Obadiah and Jonah. And the Psalms. Now that's all the Bible, isn't it? All the Old Testament. Christ said, all things must be fulfilled which were written from the very beginning, from the very first word written, concerning who? What? Me, Christ said. All things must be fulfilled which were written concerning me. So that tells me all things were written, why? Concerning Christ. And that's the reason they're written, concerning Christ. And that's why He came, to fulfill everything that was written concerning Him. fulfill it for us. He said in another place, they are they which testify. He said, you read the Bible, read it. But they are they which testify of me. They tell about me, because Christ is all. And in all, and in all the Scripture. Nowhere in all the Bible either are you going to see Christ more clearly than in the book of Genesis. Because God starts from the very outset and says, here's my son. Hear ye him. He doesn't start with history or a history of civilization or a human race and this and that and the other. He starts with Christ. Huh? Why? Huh? He's the Alpha and the Omega, isn't he? Huh? The Alpha. What Alpha is? First letter in the Greek word. That's exactly what's in verse 1. The Alpha. In the beginning, alright? So, we're going to see Christ clearly. I do hope the Lord will give you eyes and ears and a heart to receive it. In the beginning, look at verse 1. In the beginning, God. This is no argument to prove God. God doesn't say, now God is because this, because that. It just says, in the beginning, God. And I'm not going to spend my time arguing that God is. I'm just going to say, in the beginning, God. I'm going to say it like God said it. Henry, God doesn't tell us to come and explain him. It says, declare him. Preachers, so-called preachers will stand up if preaching on this text and will give a great long dissertation trying to prove the existence of God. Well, just say in the beginning, God. Because before man, God is, and after man's gone, God is. And what's the need of proving it? Huh? Let the potsherds strive. Let's just declare in the beginning, God. And this is where you have to start with everything. It's where everything started. In the beginning, God created. Look at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Created. Doesn't say evolved, does it? Doesn't say evolved. It says God created the heaven and the earth. Now, there is a concerted or united effort by devils and men. It's been going on for years to disprove creation. And again, I'm not going to spend this time proving creation. I'm not going to do it. But I do want you to acknowledge that there is a united effort, and has been for a long time, by devils and men to disprove what they call the theory, which is fact, it's not theory, but the theory of creation. Why? Why? Because if you disprove creation, then you have disproved the Creator. Right? If things were not created, then that means nobody created them. That means there's no God. Right? This, more than anything else, makes God God. You know? Creator, it said. God created. Creator, God's first office or attribute. Creator means that he is a personal being. Not some spirit that can't do anything, but he's a personal being. He actually does something. When you create something, you made it, right? You're a personal being and you made it with your own hands. Well, it says God created. That means he's a personal being, all right? You with me? You with me? That means he's a personal being, not some vapor or some spirit of oneness, like Hindu says, that we just meld into the mesh or whatever. Realize, come into the eternal oneness. That's smart. God is a personal being. He's a person. And he created, he made some things. It's not like they say God has no hands. How do you create anything without hands? Try it. He created that. He's a personal being. And to create heavens and earth, what does that mean? You have to be mighty powerful, don't you? Huh? We marvel at some of the creations of men. Buildings and so forth that men create, when in fact they didn't really create it. God created it. Every material they get to build those buildings, God created it. Right? God gave the man the mind and the faculties to do it. He didn't create anything. But nevertheless, we marvel at men creating these things, you know. And we say, what a great builder he is, a little peanut building, you know. God made the heaven and the earth, this planet, with everything it's on, God made it. That makes him powerful. That makes him all powerful. Huh? We can't create a speck of dirt. He created the planet. And I tell you what else. It's essential that we believe God is God and He is Creator. Because when you create something, that means you own it, don't you? You see, this is the most essential attribute of God. He's Creator. When you create something, that means you own it, right? And you can do with it what you want. You can do with it whatever you will and want to. You're the Creator. And God says, cannot I do with my own what I will? Yes, He can and He does. A Creator, one who makes something, has the absolute right to do with it as He pleases. I created this little plane, can I? It's mine. It's not yours. I made this. Now, I can make it fly, or I can throw it away. He says, it's not fair, it's a waste of paper. Here you reply against me, it's my paper, and I made that plane. I created it. You see, if you disprove God as Creator, then there's nobody you have to answer to, right? He doesn't own you. So there's a concerted effort on the part of the devils and men to disprove God as Creator. Because if He's Creator, that means He owns you. And He can do with you as He will. And He's the judge of all the earth that He made, right? Disprove that, then every man's his own little god. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He's the Creator. He says, cannot I do with my own what I will? Yes, He can, and He does. He's God. He created it. Right? Now, like the being of God, I'm not going to make any attempt to prove creation as opposed to evolution. I'm not going to try to disprove evolution, only a fool would believe it anyway. I mean, man, our smart people believe that, yeah. That's not God made foolish, the wisdom of this world, that all this complex universe came into being, they say, because of a big explosion. Kaboom! And now here we are. That's smart. I'm not going to try to disprove what's so absurdly obvious that it took an all-powerful, all-wise Creator to make everything that is. David said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. My very fingerprint proves it. The fact that I have one that nobody else has means that a very unique one made me unique. Oh, my. Science refutes itself constantly. You know that? I just will quote this. Did you read the paper last, I think it was last Sunday or the Sunday before, a big headline that said, the earth
is now, scientists have concluded the Earth is much younger than they thought, and the theory of the Big Bang is now called into question.
Did you read that? I didn't even bother to read it. I knew that. I'll read something that I already knew. Huh? Did you read that? I laughed.
Well, they, you know, they're making some strides. Oh, man.
Big Bang. I'll tell you what the Big Bang was. It was when God Almighty, who has the voice of many waters, said, "Let there be." His voice filled the universe, and it was. It was created. It may have sounded like a Big Bang to some. Those monkeys who were there.
And like the people said, it thundered when God spoke to his son from heaven. They said it thundered. No, it's the voice of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God. Now look over at John. Well, let's read all five verses here of Genesis 1. And then we'll turn to John 1.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, God spoke, the word came from God, "Let there be light." There's the word and there's the light, right? And there was light. And God saw the light, that good. And God divided the light from the darkness, separated from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Turn to John 1, quick. While you've got that fresh on your mind. John chapter 1. You know, here's one reason I'm not going to spend a message on creation versus evolution. Because we've missed Christ. And everywhere there are smart fellows standing in pulpits proving creation as opposed to evolution. And people are missing Christ. They're not hearing the gospel. I went one time to a conference. I told you this. Some of you haven't heard it. Went to a conference one time, Bible conference. Met out in the lobby there before the service. I met a young lady who had never, ever sat in a Protestant church service. She was Catholic. She had never before sat under the preaching of the gospel. And she had heard this pastor on tape, heard the gospel on tape. She said, "I just had to come hear it for myself in person." And she came, we talked a while, and we went in there, and the man who got up to preach that day preached a message on creation versus evolution. And it was clever. And like Scott one time said, after he heard a fellow preach a message and there wasn't any Christ in it, Scott out loud said, "Well, he convinced me." But there was no Christ in it. That woman went out of that place, for I don't know if she ever went back to hear the gospel or not, but she went out of that place not having heard the gospel. That man who preached that should have been tarred and feathered and run out of town. May God have mercy upon his soul. His hands have the blood of that woman on them. If she never heard the gospel. So I'm not going to try to prove creation as opposed to evolution. I want you to see Christ in this. I want you to see Christ. He is the Creator. Verse 1, John 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Huh? Who is that? What is this Word is talking about? Verse 14. says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You see that? That is Jesus Christ. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The same, verse 2, was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, Christ, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ is God, not just a Son of God. He is God. Is it necessary we believe that? If not, we don't believe God. He said the Word was God. Not just a Son of God, but God. Because no one can do what Christ did except He be God. The Pharisees said it, didn't they, Stan? Who can forgive sins but God? When Christ said to that impotent man, He said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And the Pharisees got offended and said, "He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God?" That's right. I am. He came to those soldiers. Those soldiers came to Him in the garden. He said, "Who do you seek?" They said, "Jesus." He said, "I am." He uttered what put Moses on his knees, and it put them on their backs. The name of God. I am. I am that I am. I'm God. I'm God walking plank. Call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. Proverbs 8 says this. Listen to this. I, talking about Christ, was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was bought for. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought for. While as yet God had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the deep, I was there. When He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass His commandments, when He appointed the foundation by of the earth, I was by Him. Jesus Christ is the everlasting God, God the Father. And I don't care how these denominations and people try to explain it away. If they don't believe, if you don't believe that He's God, you're dying your sins. Right, Henry? John 8:24, He said that. If you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. Who are you? I've said it from the beginning, and God said it from the beginning. In the beginning, God is God. The Word is Christ. The Word was made flesh. Huh? Jesus Christ is God. No argument. I'm not going to try to prove it. Just fact. Just fact. And look at verse 4 in John. It says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness." Do you remember over there in Genesis 1 where it said that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep? You remember that? And God said, God spoke, "Let there be light." Now, let's see some light on your countenances, right? God said, "Let there be light," and so it was. Light came. The light shined, verse 5, in darkness. Christ came upon this dark planet. The Spirit of God overshadowed the body of that virgin, moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God Almighty moved upon the face of the sea of humanity and said, "Let there be light," upon an otherwise dark planet. And there was light. And John said, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness," and we couldn't comprehend it. And we can't do it right now. I can't preach it, and you can't comprehend it. Light. Why is there sin without Christ? Why is there chaos without Christ?
Why is this world going to be destroyed? Because they're without Christ. Why are you going to be saved?
Because there's light.
And the light's the life, the everlasting light of men. Darkness and light came. God said it. God spoke it. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And there in John chapter 1, so the Holy Spirit overshadowed a young Jewish virgin. And God said, let there be light in this otherwise dark world. Let there be salvation for some lovers of darkness. So Christ came, and you remember where God said He called that light day? Well, unto us is the day spring risen from on high. He called His Son the day. He called His Son the day spring. The light, in the beginning, God. Everywhere of this is Jesus Christ. Come on, faces, light up. Huh? May God reveal to us this morning the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. In what? Not Genesis 1, but in the face of a person. That Mount of Transfiguration one day, John, he peeled it back, didn't he? And they couldn't look on his face. Why? Light. The light. It's the reason all these claims of people dying and said they saw a light. No, you can't. He dwells in light which no man can approach unto. They didn't see a light. What they saw was that big spotlight on the operating table looking down on them. That's what they saw. And I see spots now from looking at that one. That's what they saw. They didn't see Christ. They didn't see Christ. They didn't see the light. Where the light came. Look at John 1, the day spring. It says John in John 1. I need to mark my Bible. I left it. John 1, verse 10 says, He was in the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not, and they still don't know Him. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. His glory as of the only begotten. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, like I was saying, there's no reason for creation without Christ. No reason for it. Because, listen to me, I said that on purpose. Because known of God are all His works from the beginning, right? God knew man was going to fall, didn't He? He purposed it. The fall of man and the sin and so forth. Why would He have allowed that? Why would He have directed that unless He purposed to save some people for His glory? That's the reason Christ is called the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before the world began, Christ is called the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before the planet was created, Christ is called a lamb as it had been slain. Blood. Why, John? Because He was going to create a planet and going to create man upon it, and man's going to fall into sin, and Christ is going to come. And God's going to say, look at here! My soul, give Him glory, all you people. It's come to save. For the glory of His Son. Before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. You see, God purposed to create, why? With His Son. Let's make something. What are we going to make? A universe. Let's make it together. Son, Christ, Spirit, okay. And they did. For the glory of Christ, for the glory of God. Let's purpose now to save. Let's do something really for our glory. Let's let man fall and plunge himself in the muck and mire, and you go down and do the most glorious thing, even more glorious than creation itself. You recreate, regenerate, and save some of these people. Really get glory to your name with Christ. So God did all things for Christ. Huh? Don't you do things for your children?
That's what you do. You do everything for your children. I know you do. Some of you are plumb silly over your kids. Plumb silly. Everything you do and the way you act is because of those little brats. Well, God Almighty's Son is no... He is the fairest among 10,000. Huh? Look at John 17, all right? Look over there. I want you to see his glory, okay? John said in John, we beheld his glory. John, I want you to behold his glory. Here's another John. John. Yeah, John. Hey, John 17. I want you to behold his glory. Like John. John was just a man. He said, we beheld his glory. We beheld his glory. Because all glory belongs to the Son. And that's what Christ said here in John 17. Look at verse 5. He said, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. When we created the planet, remember, glorify me now. I'm walking the planet. Let some people see who I am. Teresa, the Creator. This ain't no mere theology here. This ain't no Sunday morning sermon. This ain't no theory of it. Creation, this God walked the earth. More real than I'm standing here, a man, God was made a man. And you don't believe it, we can't believe it, people don't believe it. Why? Because he is in a body. They couldn't see it. They could, a plain brown wrapper, Nancy. He had a plain brown wrapper on. How do you see the inside? Full of glory. Full of grace and truth. God. Look at verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, and that's the only ones that are going to see his glory. I will that they be with me where I am. That's the only one that's going to, those that the Father gave him. That's the only one's going to be saved. That why? What, why does he want us to be in heaven with him? Verse 24. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. If you study Genesis 1 and don't see Christ, you've missed it. Missed him. We've got Bibles to show you the God-man. No other reason for it. Not to impress you. Not to show you Jewish history. Why do we need to know about Jewish history? Who cares about the Jewish stamp? Huh? Except as they relate to Christ and God's purpose. Huh? That's what the world said. Who cares about the Jews? Let's eradicate them. Well, we see God's people, type of his spiritual people in the Jews. So John said, we beheld his glory. Read on now. Genesis 1. Turn back to Genesis 1, okay? Come on. Hurry with me. Genesis 1. Look, let's see Christ some more here. We haven't touched our big toe in the water. This is an ocean of fullness. Full of grace and truth and glory, we're going to behold. We haven't touched our toe in the water, Deborah. You went through this. You didn't get wet, Deborah. The water of life, Christ, the ocean in full of fullness, the fullness of God. In him dwelleth all the fullness of God. We just touched it. Let's dive in. Genesis 1, verse 6. And God said. Do you notice how many times it says that? God said. See, he created all things by his word, and he upholds all things by his word. And that's Christ. That's the word, isn't it? Everything God did, he did it by his word. Without him was not anything made which was made. The Word. God said. God said. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament, an expansion, in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Oh, my, I wish I could expand on expansion. This is Jesus Christ, huh? Who stood in the midst of this sea of humanity, the waters, and divided the waters from the waters. Huh? Isn't it? Christ is the one who divides. There was a division because of him. And this could be also the cross of Christ, which God Almighty put between heaven and earth, right in the midst of humanity, separated heaven and earth. And one man said, oh, look, well, read on. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which are under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning was the second day. One man said that Christ was altogether separate from sinners. Divided, separate. And the expansion here, let me just say something about this expansion or this firmament. What that was. Well, before the flood, it never rained on the earth. But there was this canopy that covered the earth called the firmament. A watery, misty, the dew of youth. The dew or a mist that covered and enveloped this globe. And it protected the earth from harsh elements. It sustained life upon this earth. Well, that's Christ, who has the dew of youth upon his brow. Christ who circles the globe of the earth. Huh? It's he that sitteth on it. Christ who provides for all. Christ who sustains all. Christ who protects his people from the harmful elements of God's wrath and judgment. Huh? Christ who gives life. This dew is what watered all the plants and gave forth life. Christ is even called the water of life. The firmament set in the heavens. God said, call it heaven. Call that firmament heaven. That's what we call Christ. Those who know him know we're not going to a place. When we leave here, we're going to a person. Heaven. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Now, there's a place by God, John. He prepared it for us. It's a person. It's a person, Christ. Is that firmament? Verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. What's that? What's that? Well, one day God broke open the firmament, and it rained on her. It was broken because of sin. And the justice of God was broken open. But God saved some people in an ark. God broke open the firmament. Some people were saved. Some people were judged. Well, Christ was crucified. Christ, our firmament, was broken for us. And some were damned because of that. And some will be saved because of him. And on the third day, look at verse 13. It says, the evening and the morning were the third day. Christ prophesied a long time before his death. He said, on the third day I'll rise again. I'll appear unto men on dry land. On the third day. Coincidence? Coincidence? Look at verse 11. Read on here. Everything's full of Christ here. Verse 10 and 11. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called the sea. God saw that it was good. God said, let the earth bring forth grass. The herb, the tender, or the green pastures. Let the earth bring forth green pastures. Let green pastures appear for the people.
for the inhabitants. And the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. Fruit, because this is on the earth, because the earth appeared, this fruit, whose seed, verse 11, is in itself. I see some smiles of recognition there. Huh? Because Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, the goodness, mercy, love, and grace of God is seen upon the earth, and there's much fruit. Many sons unto glory, and it says, verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass and herb, yielding seed after his kind. Christ came down, seed of God, seed of woman, and he predestinated, God predestinated many people to be conformed to his blessed image, seed after his kind, just like Christ, a people just like Christ. Why? Because the tree yielded fruit. Christ said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me, you have life. Whose seed was in itself. Christ's seed was in him, wasn't it? After his kind, just like him. And God said, this is good. This is so good. God was enjoying himself doing this. Huh? Just like I'm enjoying it right now. I hope you are, but God was enjoying himself creating that work and writing this book right now. Marveling at his own wisdom. No man could write a verse of this. What would man have said in the beginning? What would the first few words out of his mouth been? Well, the beginning of man was like this. No, you don't begin with man. That's their theology, isn't it? If you'll do this, God does. That you've got the cart before the horse. You got the horse's tail before the head. You begin with God. That's where God began. You begin with Christ because that's where God began, with Christ. And you end with Christ because that's where it all ends, in Christ. And all in between is Christ. Why? Because he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The author and the finisher, first and the last, all in between. He's always in all. Huh? And God, John, was enjoying himself writing this and doing this. Huh? A great eternal smile on his face, my son. They're going to behold his glory. A little bitty group down there in the midst of them, Blue Ridge Mountains. And we'll see something professors in the seminaries can't see. You want to hide these things from the wise and prudent who will debate creation versus evolution. And I'm going to show that man who pumps gas and who rides a truck my glory. Thanks be unto God. Huh? You want to take a fisherman up on the mount and be transfigured before him. Verse 13, and that was the third day when he arose. Verses 14 and following, it says this, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And there's so many things here. God's the greater light than Christ, but then this could be God, Christ and man too, that he caused to rule over the lesser. God, the Christ, the greater. You know, everything is under. It says here that, look at verse 14. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be to divide lovers of darkness from lovers of light. His people of the day from the night, let them be, or light be, for signs and seasons and days and years, and give light upon the earth and so forth. Christ is. Everything's under the control of Christ, isn't it? Huh? He's the light who rules over all. He's the bright and morning star. He's the sun of righteousness. That's talking about the sunlight, by the way. S-U-N. Christ is the sun, S-O-N, of righteousness who arose with healing in his wings, who rules over all. Look down at verse 20. Let's read on. Verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, every winged fowl after his kind. God saw that it was good. In other words, he created Leviathan, said, play, have fun, swim in that ocean, and a little flounder and a little bluegill and this and that and the other, and then the birds of the air to fly in the sky. And have fun! Glorify me. And what's that talking about? Who's that talking about? Christ is that ocean in whom we live and move and have our being. Huh? Like these whales and so forth. In whom we live and move and have our... What about the birds of the air? Well, it says in Psalm, if I can turn fast enough, in Psalm chapter 8, it says that he made him to have dominion over the works of his hands, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea. Who flies around who flies around, Garnet? What kind of beings fly around in the spiritual heavens, huh? Angels and cherubs and seraphs, and he says they're under the divine control of Jesus Christ. They are Christ. And we, down on this lower planet, we are in him and live and move and have our being. Verse 22, read on. And God blessed them. All blessings were for those who were in the sea. And blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. God blesses all in Christ. In Christ shall all be made alive. Verse 24 and 5, God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. It was so, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, cattle after their kind, everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. God saw that it was good. Everything after his kind. You see, let me say this one thing about evolution. It's so absurd, or should be to you, because of the variety of life. That in itself, Deborah, disproves evolution, doesn't it? The variety of life on this planet? Huh? The wisdom of God? The wisdom of God and his and the complexity and the variety of life is proof enough after his kind. Everything, do you notice, is after its kind. Huh? Monkeys have monkeys. They don't have men. Horses have horses. They don't have cows. Cows have cows. They don't have fish. Human beings have human beings, and they don't have cats. Huh? After his kind. Where's the missing link? Huh? Where's that monkey man on planet Earth? Ought to be one of them around here somewhere. No, after his kind. And everything, all the myriads and millions upon billions and trillions of different life forms, and everything is after its kind. Not like something else, it's after its kind. Flies don't have necks. They have flies. Why? God. Only a fool has said, no God. And let me tell you this, too. You ever watch these science fiction movies like, Star Trek and all that? I confess. I'm no devotee, you know. I haven't got every episode. But you ever watch these, you know, Close Encounters? You ever notice that man's God or conception of God, Man, his God and his conception of God is just like these Hollywood movies. When an alien comes down to this planet, you know, see this? What's he look like? Every alien you've seen in every movie, what's he look like? He's ugly and grotesque and just scares you to death. Why? That's after man's kind. That's what man has created. Huh? When he thinks of some supernatural, that's God's, man's God is just an absolute monster. Creation, a figment of his imagination, every grotesque and ugly. You ever thought about that? Violent. Violent. God created all things like himself. Verse 26 says, let us make man. What's he look like? Not a monkey. Let's make the most glorious creature ever to walk this planet now. God says, you ain't seen nothing yet. What? 6 days, God said, what's this? I'm going to make a creature to shine above all the rest. Why? He's going to look like me. He's not going to have four eyes and a forehead this big. You know, no nose, wrinkled skin. He's going to be altogether lovely. Why? Because God's Son is altogether lovely. Like Christ. And when Adam walked this planet, the angels said, glory, hallelujah, what a being. And when Adam saw Eve walk in front of him, said, whoa! Only a fool would believe that God, a monkey, a slimy creature. God said, let us make man after our own image, that they may behold just a little glimpse, a little reflection of my glory, who I am. Huh? That's how warped man is. His idea of a superior being is ugly as sin. God's creation of the most glorious creature ever was Christ. You see, beauty's more than skin deep. God said, okay, you marred that image, but you can't mar the image, the express image of God. And then that one day when Christ walked planet Earth, God said, you thought Adam was something. You thought the first Adam was glorious. Where's Donnie Bell? Some might say, whoop. God said, the second Adam, the second man, the only man that ever walked the planet, the second Adam's the Lord of glory. Look at his glory. And we're going to behold it someday. Yeah, we're going to be made like him. I can't wait to get to chapter 2. It talks about creation of Adam, and we're going to talk about the Adam, the two Adams. And my. We're going to be made like Christ, but we're not going to be as beautiful as he is. We're going to be so enwrapped with him. We're going to be so enwrapped with this glorious creature. It's the express image of God. The express image of let us walk the planet. Let us save some people that they may behold my glory. And let's write a book about it. And let us preach it. And let us hear it. And let us worship him. And if you read on through the rest of that chapter, it says, God said, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to do that for you. Adam, I'm going to give this. I'm going to give that. I'm going to do this. And you're going to stand back and just soak it all in. God said, I have done all this. What do I require you? Just behold my glory and worship me. Huh? Yeah. Okay, Joe, come on up and let's sing that closing hymn now. What number is it?